reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, page 1185 in your pew Bibles. And we read Acts 16, beginning at verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the revelation given to Saint John, found on page 1335, and we read Revelation 21, selected verses beginning at verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God in its radiance, like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Continuing at verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it,
nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1139, and we read John 5, beginning at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on what comes after your Gospel reading for today. Sometimes I confess that I'm not really sure how they divide all these things up, because it's an important part of what happened when Jesus healed that man at the Pool of Bethesda, that man who had been there for 38 years waiting for a healing. Right after the finish of our Gospel reading, it says, "Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.' But he answered them, 'The man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk.'" This is our text. You know, sometimes we get so focused on little things that we fail to realize the wonderful and glorious things that are happening in our lives. Case in point, this is quite a number of years ago. I was visiting with a car salesman. I believe I was negotiating a car at the time, but we had some, if you will, downtime in the negotiations. We're just chit-chatting. And I asked him, "So, you know, what's the most difficult person you've ever had to work with in selling a car?" And he told me this true story. A father comes in with his daughter. And she has a lot of specifics in the car that she wants to buy. It's got to be this color. It's got to have these features. It's got to be this model, this year. And it was kind of a rare vehicle. And this is back in the days when the internet was just getting going. So I imagine car dealers couldn't just, you know, Google it and find a car. They had to pick up the phone and call around to different dealerships. Well, the man said he had searched for a couple of weeks to find this car for this daughter, who I believe was just turning 16, and daddy was buying her first car. Oh, and by the way, it had to have a CD player. That was the newest and greatest thing. And if it didn't have a CD player, she didn't want it. Well, he finally finds the vehicle. He gets it in, he calls up the dad, says, "Hey, we got the car in, I found it. We just need you to come down and approve it, and then we can get it all, you know, fixed up and ready to go." So the father goes down with the daughter to look at the car. And it's everything the daughter wanted, except there's not a CD player in it. She calls it to the attention of the car salesman. He says, "Oh, you know, we just got the car in. We haven't swapped it out yet. It takes about a half hour. We can put the CD player in. You'll be ready to go." She says, "Well, now I don't want it." He says, "Why?" "Well, it doesn't have a CD player." He says, "Well, it will when you get the car. It takes a half hour to swap it out. It's not a big deal." "I don't want the car. It doesn't have a CD player." He says, "But it will." "But it doesn't now." Now, if it had been my daughter, she would be riding bike for the rest of her life. But that car salesman never sold that vehicle to that young lady. Lady's probably too good a word. I was thinking about that reading through our text today. Now, the Sabbath was an important day, particularly in the mindset of Jews at that time in history. It was said amongst the rabbis, if Israel could only keep the Sabbath properly for two Sabbaths, then our redemption would come. That's how much importance they placed on keeping the Sabbath. But while the Old Testament forbids work on the Sabbath, it didn't get into great depth as to what the definition of work is. I've shared this with you before, but by the time we reach the New Testament, the definitions of work have become so convoluted that no Jew could possibly keep all the regulations. My favorite one is they're walking through the grain field on the Sabbath. And in Jewish law, it states specifically, if you're walking through a grain field and you want to eat some of the grain, you cannot take the wheat, put it in your hands, and go like this. That is work. However, if you're hungry and you do want to eat, you can take it in your fingers, one grain at a time, and do this. Now, honestly, what's more work, trying to get a meal out of doing this or trying to get a meal out of doing that? I don't think there's anywhere in Scripture a law forbidding paralyzed people who are healed to take their pallet and go home. This man had been there 38 years. If there was somebody outside of the doors to our church for 38 years, laying and begging, do you think there's a person in our church who wouldn't know who that man is? And then if one day you came and you saw him in the morning, and that afternoon he was walking, carrying his pallet and going home, who would not rejoice? And yet, what do the Jews do? Rejoice with him? Celebrate the miracle that has taken place? No. It's not that he's breaking the law of God. He's breaking their expectations. And they're having a fit about it. But before we get too excited about condemning the Jews, we need to take stock of our own lives as well. For there are many times in our life when the miracle of God is overlooked because we get so caught up in little things. Things, if you will, that don't matter at all. We were all hell bound. We're all going to die. And if God had not come to us in the person of Jesus, had our sins not been washed away, not in the pools of Bethesda, but in the waters of baptism, our eternity would be spent in suffering. And yet God so loved the world that he sent his Son, who takes on our human flesh, who pays for our sins, who dies, that we might have the gift of eternal life. Yeah, there are troubles and problems that we're going to experience for a very short time on this earth. We might have to wait a half hour for that CD player to show up. And granted, maybe that doesn't cause you conniptions. But that's what people get like. They get so caught up in the minutiae of life that they can't see the blessings that they have. We have eternal life. God has prepared a beautiful home for us to live with him forever. Each and every day of our life here on this earth, that is reason enough to live in thanksgiving and constant praise. But that's not how we live. We get caught up in the little things. And not only do we lose sight of that greatest blessing of all that God has given us, but we are so blessed in so many other ways. Blessed not to just satisfy our selfish desires, but blessed so that we can serve God with our lives. And yet, we don't thank him. We complain. Our days are filled with anxiousness and fear and grumbling over the little things that we don't have that don't really matter when there's so much we can be celebrating. Yeah, it's not just the Jews of the time of Jesus. It's not just that spoiled brat of a girl at the car dealership. It's each and every one of us who forget to focus our lives on the blessings that we have, the things God has given that we truly need, and allow those to fade into the distance, focusing on things that don't matter at all. God help us to change that. And one of the best ways to do that is to begin our days when we get up in the morning and start naming those gifts that God has given. To remember each and every day what it cost God to give you your life back, to remember how much we are loved and how much He is willing to do for us. And I love that verse from Paul in Romans chapter 8, where he reminds us that He who did not spare His own Son, but graciously gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? We have a God who loves to give His children gifts, and who gives them freely and without cost. God grant that as we focus on what we have, we'll forget about those little things that don't really matter, and be enabled to spend each day in joy and praise of our wonderful God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.